Absolutely. No, I want to let it get a little, because there's a line in here that matters. So just like the song says, baby, this is what I do, and skateboarding is what we do, and can't just drop it all for just about anything, man. Goddamn. It's been a long road, and it's cold outside, and my bones know exactly how long that road has been. So, hey, man, here we are, episode 10.
010.
It's totally binary. I like that, man.
I'm going to pretend like it's the 100th.
Is that what you're going to pretend like?
It's monumental.
Yeah, well, we
got to 10.
Well, I'll pretend that you're cool.
Thank you.
Let's do that.
I would appreciate it.
But yeah, man, here we are, 10th episode. We've got Isaac Martinez in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
man.
I know, right?
Dude, how cool is that, man?
We've had some,
you know, I will say, man, we've had some of the most awesome people in this studio. So, it seems like the quality of the person just keeps getting better and better and better and better. No offense to any of our previous guests. Y'all were badass too.
Well, yeah. No,
but we're talking Isaac, man. I mean, shit. Yeah,
the thing is welcome to Dropping in Texas.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
And the thing is I don't want to have anybody on the podcast that I don't like.
That's pretty true. And man, and by the way, everybody, I just want to put out, man, I'm on like all kinds of allergy medications. I'm so full of whatever the hell it is I've been taking. I rattle when I walk. And so I might not be completely focused this evening. So I hope to get through it. And but you know what? You're my passenger on this awesome ride that I'm on right now. So
you're getting all deep and shit.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, there's something about being doped up that does that to me.
It's pretty fun.
But man, but welcome to the show. Here we are again, dropping in Texas, man. Hondo Hank, Chase Tejas, and again we got Isaac in the studio with us.
I made it.
Of the famous Austin Vert Ramp, known as Maggie's
Ramp.
Yeah, where all skaters matter. How did she
claim the ramp?
I had Maggie for about 12 years.
Yeah.
So that's Maggie's ramp. That's her yard, her house. She's been through all of it with me before I got the ramp, so...
Right.
I just christened it with her name.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And it's coming along, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be 28 feet wide. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, I might feel a little bit better about skating it, because when it was 16 feet wide, every time I'd get on it, I feel like I was going to fly off the damn thing.
Yeah. Now that I have the full transitions up.
Right.
I mean, it's a whole different animal. You won't have to go as straight up and down. It's going to make it way easier to skate it.
Carve through it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is it just straight across both coping, or did you add any?
No,
elements?
I'm making it. I like straight walls.
Yeah.
I've played with the idea of a channel or extension, but I know I'd probably get tired of those after 6 months or a year.
Right.
Just this way I can throw stuff on top, maybe.
Right. Like straight ramp. Just ramp. Wall.
Regular ramp.
That's it.
Regular fun ramp.
So, let's get some housekeeping out of the way so we can get down.
All right, at this time in the podcast it's when we acknowledge our sponsors and say thank you for the support, spreading the word, and we do what we can to spread the word of all of our friends and their endeavors. And first off, she's actually our first sponsor, Voluptuous Skateboards.
That'd be me.
We know that guy.
Yeah.
Custom Big Texas skateboards. They're almost unbreakable.
I haven't broken one, and I weigh 270 pounds, man. Shit.
I just break myself.
But yeah, that's what happens. I break me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also,
you can get a Big Texas skateboard at bigtexasboards.bigcartel.com.
And you can visit voluptuous_skateboards on Instagram.
Would you say that again?
voluptuous_skateboards_ Well, it's not squiggly.
That's straight. An underscore.
It is?
That's an underscore.
Huh.
Just so you know.
voluptuous_skateboards.
There you go. Sorry.
That's all good.
I don't want somebody to be. I don't want somebody to be looking for the, on their keyboard. Where the fuck is the underdash? You know.
I mean, it just makes sense. It's an underdash,
right?
Short underline with nothing above it. Yeah. Skateboards.
Oh, I'm gonna underscore this voluptuous right. skateboards
right.
page.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on. Sorry, I told you I'm goofy. Hey, man, fucking stupid.
I haven't slept in days really solidly, and Isaac's still injured. I'm injured. You're kind of. We're just all busted up and
brain dead practically. I am.
Old skateboarders.
I'm telling you, man. Should have just stuck to drumming all those years, and
that's so banged up.
But that's not. You know, it's too much fun to not do. Right. Yeah, I enjoy getting injured. Not really. moving on with the sponsors. Surf House in Houston, Texas, and Oak Forest. Oak Forest Original. It's been there since 1967.
That's awesome. Every time I hear it, it's fantastic.
We had a fantastic little visit and dropped off a couple items for them, and they've moved them through the shop. And So pretty cool.
I know the Soul Sisters got some Chicadura shirts.
And so did their mom, Lisa.
Yeah, and so did Carol.
And Carol.
Mm-hmm.
We tagged them up. Also out of Houston, Cockfight Skateboards, Mike Money and Kevin Lane.
Money.
Huge sponsor, doing a lot for us right now, and he's an old friend of mine and a good friend of ours, and so it works out perfectly. Also here in Austin, Buzz Bomb Skates, and a couple of good guys running that show at the moment.
Rob and Brett.
Rob and Brett, yes.
Bad sons of guns.
Good dudes.
Yep,
good dudes.
Method of Thrashing Hard.
Motham.
And Moth. And they have some really, really cool merch, some shirts, some hoodies and tanks and stuff. And you can go to their,
I don't think they have Big Cartel. Yeah, look them up on Instagram, man. Mo just straight up supports skateboarding.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's awesome what Mo does.
And he skates too.
And he skates. So. God, he skates well.
Apparition Skateboards, skateboard shop, old core skateboard shop down on, what street is it on again?
Well, since it's Austin, it's the Drag. Yeah.
Guadalupe.
So I always look at anything on the Drag as where it is in relation to the Church of Scientology. I know it's not there anymore, but damn that Church of Scientology. I'd walk by there and they'd be like, would you like a personality test? And I'm like, sure, let me go inside and fuck with you till you're done. So, anyway.
Right. middle finger exam.
Right.
Also,
now I'm gonna go on a Cannonball Run Part 2 tangent, bro.
Part 2. Oh,
sorry.
I'm so glad they never made a Three Amigos do. You know what I mean?
Oh man, that would have been bad.
It probably would have been bad. Yeah. Also, out of Houston, our good buddy Frank Gardner, Texican Skateboards, is a newish sponsor, and we really love the stuff that he's doing, making handcrafted, kick-ass
really
skateboards.
Beautiful stuff,
just beautiful,
man.
Beautiful stuff. And you can ride them. So, also, Houston Vert Ramp, I'm going to mention them because we have a relationship with Scott and the owner of the property there.
Jason.
And Jason.
And we skated it, man. Well, I jump-started. I was terrified of that damn thing.
I was too.
God.
You know, I was too.
I mean, I skated.
It was fun.
Plenty of big vert ramps back in the 80s.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I hadn't skated anything bigger than 10 feet since 1989.
I find that ramp to skate easier than even Doug's,
you know,
just because it's so perfect.
Yeah, I jump started and I was just like, oh, this is beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it
the
does.
Noises, you know, and that everything from within the
because of the covering of the canopy.
Canopy. Yeah,
it's a work of art.
Yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
All right, who else do we got? Clubhouse Skateboards.
Harley
Till.
Harley Till.
Tilda.
Man, I'm not gonna let him go now. That's so bad, dude.
Gnarly.
Gnarly
heard
that
Tildo.
One.
Haven't heard Gnarly Tildo yet. That's amazing. I like that.
Man, if I ever have another girlfriend, it's over. So
also
sorry. The chances are slim. I'm just saying that right now.
That you'll ever have another girlfriend?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah. Not gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pulling for you, dude.
That's fucking crazy. You're a fan of my dating life.
I'm sorry. Pulling for you.
Yeah. No, dude. I wasn't gonna go that direction. So I gotta show Isaac this picture really fast. So speaking of dating, I found a girl on a dating site that looks like this. Don't say anything about who it looks like, but looks like this. And that looks like somebody we know. That looks like somebody we know.
Dude, I know her.
You know her?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
That actual girl?
That actual girl?
I think so.
Okay, well.
That's funny.
But are you saying that looks like a dude we know?
It looks like a dude we know. We're not going to say any names. But we're talking about dating, and I had to show you that. So we'll come back to it later.
I'll finish these sponsors real quick here.
Sorry, please do.
Royal Tiger Tattoo, a buddy Ben Fielder over at, it's on the South Congress down there.
Yep, just got a tattoo from him last Friday.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine, Danielle, got a beautiful tattoo that Ben and I designed.
That's cool. It looks good.
It's the old TCB, taking care of business.
Taking care. All right.
That's right.
Also, Embassy Skateboards, I'm going to mention them because they are supporting what we're doing, and I love those guys, so I'm going to mention them today as well. I'm also going to mention Wild Bill of Pro Design Inc. He makes the best elbow pads in the world. That set of pads saved my elbow on the vert ramp. It's the only thing that didn't hurt when I walked away. it was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Here in Austin, Nostalgic Rags, a clothing company that supports Texas live music venues and artists. And there's a bunch of places that you can find those, and I'll put that info up on the post here.
And there's a lot of Texas musicians here in Central Texas that ride skateboards too. So I know a couple.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
We got Houston Skateboards.
Houston Skateboards.
Yeah.
Houston Skateboards.
Dan McFarlane out there in Houston.
Doing the Houston thing, doing pretty well. And yeah, that's it, man. Those are our sponsors, official. Yeah. Nice. Well, you know, official and a couple that I just have to throw out there because they have personal, you know.
Gonna have to get on the sponsor list.
Yeah, well,
we're getting some boards coming.
Oh, right on,
sweet.
Yeah,
yeah. I'll make these posts just miles long with names. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just part of the deal. So thanks everybody for supporting the podcast and. We definitely do what we can to support you.
Oh, I like those.
In return. What are those? Your boards?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
We're finally getting just a production run.
Okay.
About 80 boards have inventory while we still work on our handmade ones.
That's what I got over there. Stack of popsicles over there. Well, hey, man, I want to just, you know, to all of our sponsors, thank you so much. You know, we love doing this, and we love that you're a part of it. So and it's skateboarding, so
those are cool.
Too dumb to do anything different, you know. But there's a lot of passion there, so but again, like I said, man, we got Isaac in the house, Maggie's Ramp. Man, I've spent a lot of time over at that place. It's a great scene, and if you're ever here in Austin, stop by. It's a cool environment.
Man, I have to bring up last death match.
Oh yeah.
That was like, so Brett, I was still at the death match watching skating, and it was getting crazy.
Oh yeah.
And guys started to leave. Chris Russell took off, and then a couple other dudes took off, and
didn't Omar Hassan take off too?
Well, he was already over there.
Yeah, I know.
I got a text from Brett Johnston and said,
"Yeah, I got a text from Kenny Harrison. He's like, where the fuck are you? Get over here right now.
Get over to Isaac's now." And I said, "Well, okay, on the way, who's there?" And he said, "Everyone."
Right.
Dude, that was the most insane backyard vert session that I have been to in fucking years.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there watching Omar skate. And watching Chris Russell. He skated for a minute, and then he quit. He was he was hurt or something.
Rainey was ripping. So,
dude.
Always.
Always.
Tom Schar was over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Burnett was there.
Yeah, he's the one who called me that morning, I believe. He was like, "Hey, do you care if me and a few guys come over?" And I was like, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I had just worked all night.
25 pros.
I wasn't tired. No big deal.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You did that over that all night party.
That's why I didn't skate.
Yeah. So like 20 pros showed up. And of course, Obby was there skating and ripping and, you know, it was insane. I'll never forget that, man. It kind of brought it all full circle for me being able to sit there and watch pros kick ass on my buddy's ramp.
That's awesome.
You know? It was insane.
I think that's, man, that's the epitome of what skateboarding is, right? You just, man, it's we're going to go over there and skate. And it doesn't matter if you're a professional skateboarder or, man, if you're going to, if you're just there to watch, you're there for one reason, you know,
skateboarding. It's all about the skateboarding.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that I didn't skate. Johnson didn't skate. None of us skated.
I know. I sat down and watched.
When you, when that happens, you know not to put your pads on and get up there and disrupt that flow.
Exactly. Right?
Because I mean, you could have skated because it's your ramp and you kill. Right. But it's one of those things where you just take it all in and go, oh, I'm going to remember this for a really long time.
It was great just watching.
Right.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was sitting on those lips.
Yeah, you know, that's
those,
right.
Those big lips that you had
back
there.
Lips.
The fish lips.
Fish lipped it.
Yeah. That was rad. So talking about the ramp, man, we know that there's been a lot of building going on for a while now. Last time I went over, we pulled the layers off and found all those remaining screws that we couldn't find. But now transitions, where are we? What's it looking like?
It's the full transitions are up. So it's 28 feet wide, same height as it was, but it's down to the bones and those are all up and ready. We're just going to build some decks.
Okay.
Do some little more leveling and bracing and then we'll start sheeting.
Right on.
So it should be skatable in a month or so.
I think so.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going on a Friday to get signboard. I just got, the lady called me today and said they should have 30 more sheets for me on Friday.
So. Is that MDO stuff?
Yeah, MDO signboard.
Is that what you're going to put down with for the first layer?
I'm going to see. I started curving it up, and it seems to be sitting down pretty well. But definitely at least to flatten up the transition a little bit. If I can do the whole thing first layer, that'd be great.
Is that half inch?
It's half inch.
Okay, cool.
And then a 3/8 layer and then another half inch layer. Then the gator skins.
And then the gator skins.
Damn.
I love it.
Solid.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, that's going to be fun, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. About 6 months from now, I'll be able to pad up and go over there and skate, I think.
Well, you know.
It'll be March for me.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, I mean, right now my shoulders are pretty good, but the padded shorts are literally what saved my ass. And so thanks, Tortoise.
Yeah.
Go ahead. It's the wrong. Yeah, I turn the volume up. Do it again. You gotta hit it again.
Nice.
Right. So that's what happens when I don't wear my padded shorts. So.
Yeah.
Every
time I skate.
I remember when the ramp went up, Lou Statman put the call out for everybody. Mm-hmm. Hey man, let's go get my ramp in Dallas. And I was like, yeah, man, I here's $40, man. I'm buying somebody gas.
Yeah, we did all that in a day.
I know.
We drove out there, tore down the ramp, loaded it, got it back, and unloaded it.
Right.
In one day.
In one day. That's, man, that's ridiculous. Well,
was ridiculous.
I think it's also a testament to how efficient we've gotten as we've become older at building and tearing down ramps.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's awesome, man. So, Chase, what you got? I see you, you're over there doing something.
No, I was going to, nothing. What did I do? Did I stick my finger up?
You did. You put your finger up in the air like you wanted to say something.
No, I didn't.
I did, pertaining to the ramp, we're going to do another GoFundMe.
Okay.
When I first did the first one, I was wishful thinking I'll take a few of the sheets off the current ramp
and
build the 12 foot extra. But I tore it down and rebuilt the whole thing.
Yeah,
so.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to run another one just to help
right
the sheeting because it's three layers of.
Right on, man. We'll put the word out.
I think the link's still on my.
On your Facebook
Instagram.
Page? Instagram page?
So okay. I'm just going to, I think Obby's going to revise the actual wording in it.
Well, dude, I'm in my, you know, I'm in. I mean, that's just the way it is. And actually, if I can get away from, you know, my day job and my my night job making skateboards, I'll come over and I'll put some elbow grease into that because I love building, man. That's, you know, it's something when I was building my ramp, and now that I've torn it down, I'm going to rebuild it, of course. But there's some, there's so, but there's such this, that moment of inner quiet and satisfying. It's that zen moment of just building something, and you're focused on this thing and there's nothing else. And it's very similar to skateboarding. Right?
It is.
When you drop in, it's very, you're focused, the world, everything else goes away. It's this moment.
That's why I love it.
God, that's so rad. So, but I know, Chase, you were gonna buy some new knee pads. Is that what you were gonna do? Or are you gonna get some new pads for when you skate again?
Yeah.
Is that what you're
I would like to.
Yeah.
I would like to get some pads. I'm going to have Bill actually make me my last pair of knee pads.
Oh, yeah. Nice. You know? Some custom ones or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something, you know, because they've gotten, you know, my first pair of PD knee pads look like pillows.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They were
yeah.
huge and wide, and they clacked on the knees, and I was skinny like Tony Hawk and shit, so they looked ridiculous.
They're great pads.
But they're insane. The foam that he uses is crazy.
The
first
pair I ever had lasted 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Just stupid.
Wow, but that
They were duct taped and
of course
all that. And
That's what makes PD's badass is how you keep
I love Smitty's.
Pads. Yes.
We got that red Argyle. Mm-hmm. That's right. So Bill will make you a custom set of whatever you want. Mm-hmm. If you want to send him fabric, I do believe, does he still do that? Will he still, if you send him fabric, he'll still do it? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I think I'm going to get some camo knee pads with like some crazy color on the back, sick. You know?
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I figure I like the Killer 187s, but they're funny on the leg, you know. They're kind of they're goofy.
Yeah, they sit really high.
Yeah, and they do sit high. Stick out.
It takes
a
little while for them to break in. That's what I use now, but I still use the PD elbows.
I will not put anything on my elbows other than PDs.
Me neither.
Nope, yeah,
won't do it.
Scabs and pads.
Yeah, I got plenty of those. So, Isaac, you've got a ramp in your backyard. You know, I've known you for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, I've known who you are, but we've never met.
Right.
But man, you know, typical question we ask everybody is, man, how'd you get involved in skateboarding? What was the hook? Because for me, there were many hooks, but if there was one that you could remember.
Well, I had a little red, you know what it was, plastic skateboard when I was 9 or 10 in Hawaii, and I would just, you know, sit on my stomach and roll down the
hills
the
or roll down the streets,
whatever,
yeah,
and run my fingers over every once in a while.
Nobody likes that.
But I didn't touch a skateboard. I did learn to surf in Hawaii, and when I was 15, my friend in California, you know, he's about 2 years older than me, but he got a skateboard, and we just shared it. We shared it 1 week. We started skating. There's ditches all through the military base that I lived on, and that guy's name was Larry Grantham, and I still talk to him off and on just through social media, but that's what got me hooked back on it. We skated for about a week and a half, and then he took me to old school vert ramp that was 8 foot wide, 8 foot tall.
Yep. Everybody had one of those.
I learned how to drop in on that ramp the first day.
Wow.
And I was doing little slasher grinds by the end of the day. So that's what got me hooked back up or into it. So, and it was, you know, drop in, loop out, bust your ass.
Right.
Go back up, drop, you know, lean forward.
Yep.
Hold your nose. Drop in, lean forward. Yeah. Stop when you hit the transition, slam, and then I made the third one. And I'm lucky. I'm glad that I got introduced like right off to transition skating because I've always done it.
Right.
Sponsored for street, but I still entered, you know, vert contests throughout. Right.
Yeah, I often wonder if it was, you know, when it became my time to get on a skateboard, if street would have been the predominant flavor of skateboarding at the time. I wonder if I would have gotten as into skateboarding as I was, because you bring up a good point, right? Because before I ever rode a skateboard, I was on a surfboard.
Yeah.
The first turn I ever made on a surfboard was front side. The first turn I ever made on a skateboard was front side.
That's exactly what happened to me.
Right. And so I wonder if, you know, if it was just that sole street aspect of it, if I would have been so drawn to it because, you know, that it's vertical different. Transition, mm-hmm. man, there's surfing involved, you know?
Well, yeah, it just feels
right.
Amazing.
And I love the speed too. Just that sound of that wind rushing by your ears.
Yeah, I'm still more comfortable with front side anything as opposed to backside.
I think it, for me, it just depends on where I'm skating. Yeah. But I do like going front side. I like the, there's something, you know, it's, when, as soon as you cross that center point, you see everything.
Yeah, I find it easier.
Right, and then on, but backside, as soon as you cross that center point, you can't see behind you anymore, right?
So you can't see your feet, so I just...
Yeah, oops.
Mm-hmm. And funny thing, I'm sure a few people know, but I surfed regular foot, but I skate goofy. I don't know why.
That's interesting.
Still do it.
Wow.
What?
Yeah,
that's cool.
So I think that's why
I've never heard of anyone doing that, other than young kids that are 12 years old and just don't know the difference in regular and goofy when they skate, like Charles. You know what I mean?
That kid's rad.
He
talk about how he drops in.
Well, the funny thing is he's the son of a bass player in my old cowpunk band, and I used to bring him skating a lot, right, you know, beginning of the year and stuff. And we'd go to all the parks, Pflugerville, Round Rock.
Yeah.
And then brought him over here to skate several times, Wells Branch. And I'm watching him, and I've noticed that he rides goofy.
Okay.
So he gets on the ramp, and he starts pushing regular and backside That's turning crazy. Regular. And I'm like, Hold on. What's going on, Charles?
How does he drop in?
Does he drop in off his nose? Or
yes.
That's crazy.
But he's going forward. But when he does tricks, he tricks goofy and he skates regular.
That is crazy.
It is weird.
That's just a way that he learned to skate, ambidextrous, right?
That's amazing.
And he has no dominance one way or the other.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Right.
To watch him grow into that.
And I've seen some clips of him recently, and he's doing it, man. He's getting better, and he's like...
How old is he?
I think he's 12 or 12. Sure. He's 12 for sure. Okay. He might be 13, but my daughter's a year older. She's, so he's still 12, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's really cool kid, too.
Yeah, he's a cool kid, man. His dad and his mom are super cool, you know, good friends of mine.
Well, that's interesting that you surfed regular and skate goofy. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
And I don't know why I started skating goofy when I did. I just didn't realize the difference, I guess, when I first started. And
it's insane.
Felt comfortable.
I'm sitting here right now trying to think.
Right.
All right, if I'm about to catch a wave, why don't I just try going backwards with the board going forwards?
Well, you know, every time I push on a skateboard, I just think to myself, why don't you just ride goofy because you're pushing that way?
Oh yeah.
Right, and then I stand up, you know, straight. So so Mongo,
Mongo,
me Mongo.
I started that way too.
Yeah. I think that's.
I
taught myself to go the other way too, but now I've kind of reverted back. But I think that was also a product of surfing.
I think so too.
Because it's all like always be on the further back you can be, the better off you are on your surfboard.
Yeah, come to think of it, if I'm going to approach a trick, like say on the little wall at Pflugerville up near the bowl.
Oh yeah,
that little.
If I'm the one where you fell.
Yeah,
without your pads.
One where I busted my ass. Well, this is exactly how I fell. I'll go backwards. I'll approach the trick backwards, but I'll Mongo push into it. But it's the same as goofy pushing. My board is just shifted, right? And so then I'll step my back foot on and go backwards. Looks like the front foot. Yeah, and I lost my balance when I did that and just flew like in the air and landed flat, splat with no pads.
That's funny. Ouch. That's funny. So that's interesting that I think, you know, it all went back to surfing at least for the three of us here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where it started for me.
Because, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have a surfboard. I had a neighbor down the street whose dad was this like amazing surfer in Corpus Christi.
Oh, nice.
And every day after school in the summer, he had his own construction company or something. And like at noon, he'd come home. He'd take us two boys out to the beach. He'd go out like third sandbar and surf for hours and leave us a 10-foot board and be like, okay, you guys just surf right here. And like the first, I remember the first day, I stood up, paddled out. Like, wow, this is cool.
That's awesome.
Paddled in, stood up, and rode one all the way in. First day.
That's the best feeling.
Yeah, I think I was like 8 years old, maybe younger.
We lived, our house at the time in Hawaii, it was a huge backyard, like 40, 50 yards maybe.
Big Island?
Oahu.
Were you in Honolulu?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, over
just outside Kaneohe Bay.
Yeah.
And there was a fence, chain link fence, and then the beach.
Ooh.
So I would go out there and play on the beach all day, watch the whales or whatever. But there was always, you know, teenage surfers, and they took me out one day and paddled me out past the break and left me out there with a surfboard and said, you need to come in.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh, I like sinking.
That is how I learned to surf.
Surf or swim.
Yeah.
I was surfing. That's my son.
Horace
Caldwell Pier. That's a 7'6" egg shape. It's a California board. So it's, I think, 6 on top, 4 on the bottom. And he took him out. It was about waist high. And I pushed him into this wave, the first wave he ever caught. He rode it all the way until the fins hit the fucking sand, and he hopped off. And I'm out there at chest-high water.
Right.
And he turned around. He goes, I want to do it again. How do I get back out there?
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to come and help you paddle out. Cause
it's such a good feeling.
Yeah.
And he was hooked.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he wanted to do for years. And we couldn't really make it happen that much. Getting down there that often, so we started riding motocross, and he kind of let the surfing thing go. But now he's up in Cape Cod, and there's some cold water waves up there. Real cold. And now there's a bunch of sharks migrating in that area and doing shit. So
yeah, they're all escaping all that fucking radiation coming out of Japan.
Yes, things are changing. The world is changing. So all the environment will change.
I didn't mean to get political on it. I apologize, but you know, I'm a huge fan of the environment. I like breathing, and I like blue skies, and I like fish with two eyes. Because I like sushi as well.
I like Mother Earth.
Yeah, man, it's the provider.
Need to take care of her.
Right.
So, so there's another cause for skateboarders right there, right? You know, take care of the Earth, because you know. It's the only one we got. But all right, man. So there's been some big news in skateboarding. I know that Chase, you wanted to talk. That you had an opinion about this, and so if you wanted to bring it up,
yeah, man. My post the other day was that the announcement that Frusciante's back in the Chili Peppers, and then also in our world, Mark Gator's getting out of prison, and I got a little bit of. I got yelled at by some friends for even bringing it up, but I think that there's no reason not to bring it up, really. He was a kind of a piece of shit for doing what he did, right? And
murderous fuck.
And a lot of people.
Not even from Texas. Why are we even talking about that fucking guy?
There you go.
So
because if it had happened here, we would never have this conversation.
That's true.
It wouldn't happen. But
we wouldn't have wasted the time.
I think he's just going to go and do his thing by himself for the rest of his life, and I hope he does.
There's forgiveness, and you know, there's this dude that he's on the Never Was crew, right? And I think his name is Rinus Rensel. Maybe I'm pronouncing that wrong.
That's close.
So,
enough,
but yeah. Rinus lives in I think he lives in Holland or the Netherlands or
somewhere.
And
over there.
You know, he had a very interesting perspective on that. He's like, look, a dude like that would do something here, and they'd be, you know, we'd put them, you know, and their prisons over there are not like our prisons here.
Their whole rehabilitation system it works a lot of the time.
And he's like, look, you know, we believe in forgiveness, and at the same time, you know, I watched the documentary about that whole thing, and it angered me. It angered me that somebody could say. You know, and if anybody knows me and knows that I'm not very religious, but somebody could go out there and say, you know, praise God, praise the Lord, all these things. And then while he's doing that, he's got a girl tied up in his bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's kidnapped her. I mean, come on, man. Dude, fuck off.
Well, right? he wasn't right.
Right. Well, and then the thing is, but like, you know, but so like, you know, Rhinus was bringing up the point that, you know, we forgive and this and that, but there's this thing in me, and it's not about revenge or anything like that. It's like, I don't think I could ever look past the action. You know what I mean? Because
not that action.
Not that, because that was, it was fucking evil. Right?
It was evil.
It was evil.
It was evil.
And I
that young lady.
I'm not going to say that, oh man, well, that dude was a good skater. Well, fuck him.
Right.
You know? Fuck that dude. And if I don't think the skateboard, I mean, at least the Texas skateboarding community, I don't think would be like, oh yeah, come on, dude, let's go skate.
Fuck no.
Yeah,
so, he was an amazing skateboarder, but that everything ended once he did that.
Right. Like, yeah. You lost everything. I mean, fuck. So, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Did we talk about it?
That's good. That's good enough for me, man. That's good enough for me.
Sorry, I'm a little passionate about some things.
I would not support any sort of comeback tour. I would not. I would actually protest it, as a matter of fact, and you know, show up. And
you wouldn't be the only one.
Yeah,
I know. So, yeah. But anyway, Chili Peppers will probably kick ass again with Frusciante.
Man, John Frusciante is one of the best fucking guitar players on the planet, man.
He's pretty rad.
I mean, yeah, and he's a really interesting dude, too. So not that I, you know him, but like, you know, he had a four track that he had in his house for years, and he would put out an album like every week.
Yeah.
He had one of the best songs that I ever heard by anybody. He has a song on, I can't remember the name of the album, but it's called Your Pussy is Glued to a Building on Fire.
Yeah.
It's amazing. A fantastic song, man. I think it was about his ex-girlfriend. It's of course it's a metaphor. There's like, there's no way I'm ever going to get you back because I'm not going to run into a building on fire, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know. So, man, I know that's not skateboarding related, but it's fun, and I like music. You know?
Well, I mean, look, the Chili Peppers did perform Black Eyed Blonde in the movie Thrashing.
That's absolutely
true. So that was cool. That was a cool scene, because that's my favorite song off Freaky Styley.
Me too.
It's a rad song.
So, well, you know, if we want to talk a little bit more than, you know, about that era, right?
Uh-huh.
So I have this internet television channel. And I watched Suburbia, the Penelope Spheeris.
I watched it twice after you said it was on Pluto.
It's on Pluto TV. Yeah, you can watch it. It's fantastic. And the thing is, the reason I bring it up is because, man, I would ride my skateboard down to my buddy's house, and we would watch that movie. And then we'd go skate where he had a little mini ramp in his backyard, and we'd skate his mini ramp, and then we'd watch, you know, then we'd watch Repo Man after we watched that.
Yeah, yeah. We'd watch Tough Turf.
So it just, or the Band of the Hand or whatever the hell that movie was.
Yeah, Band of the Hand. Yeah. That was a good one too.
But it was all these, you know, basically coming of age movies, etc.
Should I talk about that message I got from Finley today?
Yeah, you should.
I
love Finley.
Yeah, Jimmy Finley, man. I mean, definitely status, you know,
all right,
here in Texas.
All right, Too Slow 69 sent me a message today because he saw the post, and he said, I was skateboarding with Gator after he killed the chick. Sean Andrews and Derek Williams rode with him from Cali to Texas after he buried the body.
Oh, my God.
A bunch of us were kicking it at Denny's while he was preaching God's word to us with Heidi Fitzgerald on his shoulder. We all walked the ticket, leaving him with the bill. 10 of us walked the tab. He drove home alone that night and turned himself in. And I said, that's totally fucked up.
Dude.
And he said, that's totally true.
So... what? So here's my curiosity now, right? After you read that, was that evidence? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm assuming it would.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure, like, you know, some detective somewhere was like, so what did he do? I mean, I wonder if any of those dudes got questions or anything.
Had to have been, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's fucked.
Isn't that crazy?
God.
Like, that's somebody that we all know.
Yeah,
that dude was right there with the guy.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, man. Let's shake off this heavy bullshit. Let's shake it off. So Isaac, man, you know, this is something that I talked with Mike Money about on the last one, and I'd like your perspective on this. So one of the things that we see modern skateboarding going through, right, is this. You know, there's a park being built, you know, pretty much on every corner, and here we are, you. backyard ramp, me backyard ramp. There's a ton of backyard DIY all over Austin, Texas. However, with the younger generation that's coming up, one of my fears is that we're going to lose that DIY, really, I mean, nature of what skateboarding was for us, at least, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we had to do it. We had no choice. You know, necessity is the mother of invention, you know?
Yeah, we're definitely going to lose a big chunk of that as this young generation grows up. I mean, there's, you know, a handful of them that still do it, and it's rad to watch it and support them when they do, you know, DIY backyard or concrete. Concrete's
broke neck.
Blowing up. Yeah.
Wayne Stock.
Yeah. Sorry, I was sick, y'all. I couldn't make it.
There was some sick skateboarding happening, right? I mean, you were there. I was there. The band was playing. That was a cool. I'd never been over there. I've known Ken for like 20 years.
It's a rad spot.
Yeah, it's super cool. The concrete is like perfect.
Oh,
it's badass.
Yeah, it's. But back to what you're asking me. Yeah, we're definitely going to lose a lot of that, and it's, you know, they can just go to any. I mean, thousands of skate parks across the United States where, like you said, we had to either build something with most likely stolen wood or
which you can see that there's a definite progression there because you just said you're going to go pick up some signboard. So
I'm buying it.
Yeah. You're paying for it. Yeah. It's so much easier.
When you're younger, you know, you just go down to the nearest construction site and load it up on two or three skateboards and roll it home.
Yeah, you still would. You're going to pay for it one way or another.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the old.
True that.
We paid for it with splinters.
Karma deal or it's a Murphy's Law thing or something. But yeah, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
You're going to get hurt anyway.
Yeah.
But we always used to be afraid to be the first guy to take the run on the ramp that we stole 22x4s from somebody's pile. You know, like, you go first. You know, you go first.
See, I didn't know that a lot. I didn't know what karma was when I was 15. You know what I mean?
It's an extreme measure. We had to skate, and we couldn't afford this shit, and parents weren't going to buy it, and, you know, forgive us. But it happened. And we had to skate. That's the only thing we knew to do.
So it would be like
stealing food if you're hungry. We were hungry to skate. We needed some food. Yeah.
My father bought me or paid for all the wood for my first vert ramp. I had one when I was 15.
Sweet.
How big was it?
It was, I don't really know because I'm thinking it was 9. It was a Thrasher ramp plans.
Oh, okay.
Built to spec.
Yeah. Ooh.
But that's when I first started getting, like you said, into power tools and working with wood. And I built all kinds of stuff afterwards because it was on a Marine Corps base. And my dad was into the skateboarding. And he's like me. He didn't ask. We just started building. And the housing inspector would drive by, not say anything. And then we had it done and had it about a month. And they gave us a notice saying we had to be down in a month.
So you had 2 months to skate it. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
And then I proceeded to build 50 or more, maybe like 30 or more launch ramps for the neighborhood kids all around out of that wood.
Right.
I would charge, I don't remember what it was, $20 or $30. And then I'd give my dad, like if it was 30, I'd give him 20 and I'd take 10. And that's how I made some of the money back from my dad for the wood.
I like that story. Mm-hmm. I did something very similar. So, you know, Roger Jones. But Roger, you know, he introduced me to building big ramps. And I'd always like built little, you know, I'll build a little quarter pipe. And I never had any plans or anything. And I was just like freehand to transition.
Yeah.
Cut it out, double it up.
Yep.
Put it together and he tells me one day, he's like, hey, man, let's go over to, we're going to rebuild now, but we're going to build it just like the Kahuna. Nice. And I was like, all right. And so we built that ramp like the Kahuna. And it was awesome. And, you know, I grew up in, and I've said this before, but, you know, I grew up in a blue collar family. All my family are electricians. But, you know, none of them ever taught me how to read a tape measure.
That's shocking.
Roger Jones taught me how to read a tape measure. Right. And later in life, I got to pass that on to somebody I'm building a ramp with, you know, but all those skills, man, it's not just skateboarding skills.
Oh, no.
All those skills go places.
I'm making a living with all those skills.
Right. So, man, skateboarding taught you, taught me, taught a lot of people a whole lot more. And that's that DIY thing that I'm talking about.
Exactly,
and
yeah.
Now that we're going to go and we're going to have skateboarding in the Olympics, you know, there's not a
there's
not
look?
A thing. There's not a thing that's in the Olympics that's going to be made out of wood.
Yeah.
Right. So these kids see this and they're like, well, you know, and like you watch, you know, like you talk to Kerry Jackson, you know, they go in and they build all that stuff.
And they tear it down.
And they tear it down.
Yeah.
And it's concrete at some point, right?
Yeah, I believe it's like wood frame and
wood frame
concrete
and then
on top.
Yeah,
or
they spray the, they spray it on.
They could build it to keep, but they just never do.
They never do. So with it being in the Olympics, these kids are gonna see this. Oh wow, look. And then they don't realize that this was built by skaters.
Right.
Right. And so again, that's just another worry that I have about the future of skateboarding.
Are you are you supportive, Isaac, of the skateboarding in the Olympics? Because you kind of rolled your eyes
a little bit.
I
support it in the fact that it's, you know, if you own a skateboard company or trying to make a living off it, it's obviously going to help that. And but other than that, no, I do not.
I think I know why.
Yeah.
The competition isn't as a backyard competition would be, or as
exactly.
a backyard vert contest, or it's a different level, and
it's not,
know, man.
It's not punk rock, dude.
Well, that's for
it's
sure.
It's just not fucking punk rock.
That's for sure. And it's a different type of athlete. You know what I mean?
It's more of a
conform to certain regulations and rules.
I don't know, like a jock sport.
Olympic committee.
Don't offend anybody, but it'll be more like that.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I think you'd only offend
Jock.
I wonder if they're gonna test for THC.
Everyone's wondering that too.
Yeah,
they have to.
But it's not a performance enhancing drug. Well, if anything, it's a pain management drug.
But the problem is it's still on the federal schedule list
or alcohol.
Yeah.
So
90% of the skaters I know
have
to have at least a couple beers before they skate.
Right.
I can't, but
I can't either. most of them do.
We know those guys.
Yeah.
Harley.
Well, I think it's,
Roper.
God damn, Roper. That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind having a beer, right?
Yeah.
But I at your birthday,
mm-hmm.
I sat down, I had all my stuff with me. I sat down, somebody handed me a beer, I drank it.
That's it.
And then I was talking to somebody, and somebody else handed me a beer, and I was like, well, there is no way I'm getting
exactly
my stuff out of the car. Nope.
I can nurse a beer through a whole session.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. And I have to start after I'm warmed up.
Right.
And then, you know, it gets warm before I finish it.
Yeah. And then you're
I was at Kingfest the year before last, and I thought I was done skating, and I had a beer, and I started on my second one, and then I wanted to skate again, so I had to wait about another hour and a half for the next session to start
right.
so I could try and roll again, because I just can't do it. I need all my balance.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I certainly don't need any extra courage.
Exactly.
You know, that's what scares me, right? I mean, I need all the balance, but I drink 2-3 beers and I'm like, oh, I got that.
Yeah.
I haven't done a backside air in 20 years, but I'm going to do one right now.
I think I can pull a 6-foot one right now.
Yeah, right now. I'm going to do judo. Judo air right now. Boom. No way. No way.
The thing about the Olympic skating is that the level of disappointment if you don't do well is way far more crushing for a person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And like, how are they going to score that?
How?
See, and that's another thing. Like,
and who?
Right.
Exactly.
How and who? That's a good question.
Because a lot of it's just like.
And I read this. I read this article on the committee,
uh-huh.
right? And the dude that formed the American committee that got skateboarding into the IOC, had no clue about skateboarding in any way, shape, or form.
It just sounded cool to have.
It was like, oh no, we need, well, and I think
it's an extreme sport.
It's an extreme sport, and I do believe that the IOC, you know, they've had declining ratings over the past, you know, 10, 20 years, right?
And they
want a younger sport.
Yeah.
They need, you know, and it's you know, get them when they're young. I mean, it's just the way it is.
I mean, think if it was like what Lou does, like downhill races and stuff like that.
There's
clear winners and losers. They're timed.
Yeah.
That's doable, but to have to interpret like style and sketchiness, which is rad sometimes, and
everything. Some of it's my like, favorite skaters are the sketchiest
skaters.
Look like
they're
going to
fall off all the time. Yeah.
like Jeremy Clark Fox, man.
Because they hang on.
Yeah, I love watching that dude skate. Because, I mean, he's got that got that heel toe going on, man. I mean, that dude rides away from the gnarliest shit I've ever crazy. Seen. And he skates like it.
Oh, he's a rad.
Breakneck speed, man. It's rad to watch him.
Fast.
But dude. Some like judges sometimes don't reward that, you know?
That's why I don't get how that's going to work. But
maybe they're going to use all the figure skating judges.
And maybe it'll go one time and then they're like, screw these guys.
Right.
That'd be interesting. You know what I'd like to see in the Olympics, though? You know how snowboard, a super pipe, it's downhill and it's 17 feet high or whatever.
That would be interesting.
Be cool to do that with a skate. But not make the pitch so great.
Right.
But have it to just where you've got momentum going one direction and one after the other. Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be kind of cool.
Because I've always thought of watching super pipe, I'm like, man, I'd love to skate that thing. Just carve it a couple times. Not like try to, you know, get gnarly, but some guys would get fucking gnarly on it.
I'd hate sure that would be well, I mean, you know, fucking they've got, I mean, you look at you know, Mega Ramp, right?
I don't know how those dudes,
I mean, shit,
that's insane.
I'd love to try it.
I would too.
Oh, I would totally try it.
I don't think I could drop in. I don't think I could
that
drop
would
in
be
on,
the hardest
on
part.
40 feet or
what's well 40. So what you can do though, right, is you like, so on the landing section, just start on the landing section
absolutely.
The, start there and just roll. I mean, that's 25 foot quarter pipe.
It's 23 feet.
Is it 23 feet?
It's 23
feet. Oh man, that 2 feet that I was wrong about is the one that's gonna get you,
dude.
You know,
we've seen some gnarly Jake Browns going down on that.
Well, look at, like, man, Danny Way that year, that was him and Bob, and he almost broke his legs when he landed on the he just boom. I was like, oh my,
that would be my biggest fear.
He fractured one of his feet
and then he
got
up
out and did
and he rolled back in
and he pulled it
and pulled it off.
He's a machine. Yeah. So when he jumped the wall
with a broken ankle.
Right. Yeah. That was insane.
Well, and you get and I think that there's a tremendous amount of like that broke that dude's shoulder or that broke that dude's foot. And you get a respect for it because it just looks like they bailed and kind of slid for 30 feet.
Well, and it doesn't look like that big a ramp
right.
on TV here.
Right. And then you see it up close and you're like, fuck. Like when the X Games was here.
It's 2.5 stories.
Yeah, I watched Elliot Sloan do he was 50 feet off the fucking ground.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
That'd be
ridiculous. Imagine coming down 25 feet onto coping and then having to go down further the transition. Yeah. So you're fucked, man.
Yeah, you know what? I don't want to try that.
I would.
I'm going to go ahead and take that off the list.
You're going to take it off the list?
Yeah, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'd rather watch.
You know what? I think I'd like to try it. Just start at the landing and just go in. I'd like to try because there's so much vert, right? It's what, like 4 feet of vert, right?
Soft mountain.
Just to get up there and maybe just like just pick your board up. Just do a little ollie.
Yeah.
You know, come back in. Because there's so much transition to catch you. You're not, if you're not exiting the ramp, you're not going to be 4 foot off the wall. You know what I mean?
True, yeah.
So, yeah, that's my 2 cents. Yeah, okay, I'll try it. Let's try it next. Let's go, Isaac. Let's roll out to, let's go to Bob's place out there in California.
Okay.
I'm sure he'd have us.
I know somebody who knows him said they could get us in.
Yeah, well.
So, I'm sure between the three of us, we know somebody.
I know a dude. Yeah. I know a dude who knows a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just a dude who knows a dude who knows another
dude. God, dude, I love that movie, man. So
guys,
good.
I was going to say something when you were talking about Jeremy. I'm sure you've seen the drop-in he did when we were on that little skate trip.
Yeah, dude.
The big,
that big
bank.
That, yeah, that it looks like about like a 30-degree angle.
Smash. No. Luckily, he's wearing a helmet.
I haven't seen that.
Really?
No.
I think it's on his Insta.
It's on Instagram. I'll pull it up. But yeah, talk about it because that's fuck, dude.
He's crazy. Straight up.
He's a machine.
He's nuts. Harley's nuts.
Even the locals said, you know, we asked him, has anyone ever gone? No one's ever gone from the top. They've gone from halfway. So what does he do? He goes to the top.
Well, here's a little I go to Instagram and the first footage I pull up is Abby doing a Phillips 66, a perfect Phillips 66 on the Houston vert ramp.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's
comes
like,
up off the lip.
Yeah, he's
she told me, he's like, that I usually don't plot up off the lip when I do that.
No, it's and you can tell that he didn't expect it when he rolls when he away. Landed, he's like, yeah, yeah.
He was still twisting a little bit.
Yeah,
he kept going.
Yeah, you can tell it
totally
kind of
pulled it.
Tell it kind of surprised him a little bit. Like, oh, what? Yeah, that ramp
caught
is,
air off it.
Yeah, that ramp is rad. So yeah, no, dude, Jeremy. So talk about that trip that y'all went on for. It was Harley's bachelor party.
Yeah, it was Harley's bachelor party.
This is how skaters spend their bachelor party.
It was me, Jeremy, Ben, the Olympic skater.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I call him Officer Friendly.
Yes, Officer Friendly. Joey Speck, Jazrad,
yeah.
And Harley. So it was five of us in a van that we had rented. And we went into New Mexico and started at Indian Ditch, which if you've never been, you need to make it.
Right.
It's just rad.
It's like a mile long, right?
Oh, yeah. We did the whole thing, like all the way down. It is rough and it's scary because the top half, you start hauling ass.
Really?
And if you fall, you're going to tear some skin off.
Where? You got to wear your leathers.
Yeah. It was fun, though. And then from there, we just went through, kind of made our way into Colorado and went to I think we ended up going to about 24 skate parks and backyard spots.
Damn.
And that was a lot. And I was an old guy, obviously.
Right.
So how did you get hooked up with the backyard spots?
Mostly Joey.
Joey knows a lot of people, man.
A lot of people.
He travels a lot, too. Yeah,
he does.
And we hooked up with a couple of his friends, and then they took us everywhere. There's a place called, I think it's Mike P's. It's like a four or three clover. I think it's 6, 8, and 10.
Ooh.
It's amazing.
Sounds
it's perfect.
Fun.
Yeah, that was the thing. It was fun. And then there was, I forgot the other guys. It's part of the, they call them the something danglers. They're out of Colorado. It's just a group of guys. And this was a backyard spot that was amazing. You've seen, I'm sure you've seen it on the video.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a huge, like, love seat gap. And the locals there are just.
Kill it.
They're amazing. I was just like. Holy crap. But that is the loosest I've ever had my trucks. Because I skate with
vert.
Tight trucks.
Yeah, you skate vert.
So
tight
do
trucks.
I.
Yeah.
Me too.
And even when I skated street, when I was sponsored, I'd say medium trucks. You know, it's when people started getting the really small bearing cover wheels and big pants where the trucks got loose and I never really went
Did
that
you say
far.
Big pants?
Big pants.
Yeah. Massive pants.
Massive.
I had some.
JNCO.
Couldn't see your foot.
Yeah. And now it's come full circle to wearing like tights like you're a gymnast. Everybody's wearing the skinny jeans.
Can't wear the skinny jeans
it's
either, man.
Too constricting. But that trip was amazing. And it was great. And I knew I was getting the shoulder surgery. And
right.
It was kind of, we left on my birthday. So we kind of celebrated that too. And
you hit Colorado.
Mm-hmm, and all through it. We just camped.
How was the getting acclimated to the elevation?
Oh,
how long
that
did
bad.
That take you?
I didn't really notice it. I noticed it the first couple days. Then it just went away.
Yeah.
You know, I think some people have a harder time. It definitely burned my lungs at first.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I didn't get dizzy, which was good.
Right.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I'm having trouble finding that video, man.
Yeah, it was fun, though. Definitely the most skateboarding I've done in years, like consistently, like every day.
Every day
we'd
for
hit like
a week.
Two
or so.
To three, four parks, and it was just like.
It's rad.
You do an hour, 2 hour drive, and you get out. And at least for me, I don't know about those guys, but
I could
barely get out of the car.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Put my pads on, my knee braces.
So we're at an hour, and I'm going to guarantee you getting up out of these chairs at an hour 30, you're going to be like, oh, shit. So,
oh, yeah. It is going to hurt.
Well, I mean, do we want to talk about that? How everything, like, it's so cold outside right now. I mean, I walked from my truck to my desk today at work, and like, man, my knee hurt, my ankle hurt, my hip hurt, my elbow hurt. I don't even walk on my elbow.
Sucks.
I was in physical therapy this morning, and you know, he keeps asking me, well, how's that feel? How's that feel? And I'm doing, you know, certain exercises, and it's like. Well, that shoulder feels fine, but my left shoulder, that really hurts my left shoulder and my ankle. And
I went and got a massage last week, right?
It's been years since I've had one.
Man, it was fantastic. But
let's go get them.
My shoulders, I've been waking up in the morning and like.
We need one.
I don't move a lot when I sleep. And so
just deadens.
I'm a side sleeper, so I wake up in the morning and feel I can't feel my arm, and then like all day my shoulder hurts, one of them, both of them. So I went and got a massage, and she had me lay down on my back, and she was pushing on my shoulder, and she grabbed my arm, and she pulled it back over my head. My shoulder didn't hurt. My armpit felt like it was going to just, it felt like it was a rubber band that was just stretching and like it was going to pop away. That was the strangest feeling I've ever had in terms of, you know, skateboarding related injuries.
Did you get a happy ending?
No, I didn't get a happy ending, man.
Had to do it. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Should have.
No.
Should have.
It's not that. It's not that kind of place. You know what? It wasn't that kind of place. It was funny that you say that. I was at a bar. We were skating Brushy one night, and we all decided to go stop at this little bar on the way home. It's right off of Anderson Mill.
Was this the other night?
No. This is a long. This is okay. About. This was a couple of years ago, and so we're at this bar, and we're all standing around having drinks and whatnot. And there's a massage place in the same. In the same little complex where the bar is. And we were talking about, man, I wish that massage place was open right now. My shoulder's killing me. And the bartender goes, yeah, no, they closed that down because because all the condoms in the drain caused that place to flood.
That's disgusting.
So, yeah, watch this. Chase. This is Jeremy. Dude, this dude is fearless, man.
And that thing, you know.
It's about a 30-degree pitch, right?
Yeah, that's what, I mean, you're hitting. You got about two foot drop after it comes off.
Oh my God! Why? Fuck that!
Well, because
God damn it, dude! Seriously, had he not had his helmet, he would have
he'd be fucking done.
I think he would have
been
dead.
Yeah, he would have been fucking done.
It was just boom. Yeah.
Jeremy, what's wrong with you, son?
but look at him, right? Oh. Look, I mean, dude. So. That was like the second day of the trip.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
So the second day. So we'll link to it. We'll link to this video. We'll link to this video off of the drop it in page.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. But this dude, second day of y'all's.
Oh, he was
what? 7 day, 6 day trip.
10 day.
10 day trip. Holy shit. Second day, this dude broke himself off.
Oh, he broke himself in.
Yeah, broke himself in.
But he's covered in scabs.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that, but I don't ever want to see that again.
Well, he didn't have as much money as he thought he was going to have when he went on trip. And I don't know who brought it up, but it was probably Harley. I
thought it was Joey.
Could have been Joey. Said, hey, I'll give you so much money if you drop in on that. So, you know, he started in from like a third of the way up. Made it, and then halfway up, and then he just went all the way to the top. And
so he made it from the third and from the half and then went to the top?
Well, he made it and still kind of
ate,
and then he slid from the bottom, and then I thought, maybe he'll try it again.
Right.
Well, I'm just going to go to the top. I was like, okay, you know?
Shit.
But, you know, we all gave him some money, and
yeah,
I bought him drinks for a few nights.
Here.
Bought him a skateboard later.
Yeah, oh, that's awesome, man. So, well, you know, when y'all were going on that trip, I was supposed to go with y'all.
That's what they said.
And it just didn't work out because of my work schedule and all this other shit that I had going on. But
it was awesome. It was fun.
But when you leave here tonight, the little grass section between the sidewalk and the and the street.
Yeah.
So Jeremy helped me dig all that out, and we put down rock. All that limestone, all those limestone pavers out there. And I paid him to do that because I knew he was going on the trip.
I was like,
let me, and I overpaid the shit out of him too.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing about skateboarding, man. The community take care of each other, you know? So,
cause I think he texted us all the day before and I was like, well, I don't know if I'm going to go after all because of, you know, his financial situation. We were like, fuck you.
Yeah,
going.
Dude, I would have sponsored. If I would have heard that, I would have just sponsored him. Absolutely. Like, dude, here's 200 bucks, man. Yeah. Fucking, here's 200 bucks and a bunch of t-shirts. Give them away and just yell my name. So, right. Could you imagine that? Here's 200 bucks and the whole way they're there. Like every 10 miles, he sticks his head out the window. Hondo, you know, that'd be rad.
Funny. Throwing t-shirts at people.
Yeah, just random folks that are riding skateboards.
Yeah, going 60 miles down the road throwing wadded up, taped up t-shirt rolls. Yeah.
Or just make one of those t-shirt guns that are compressed air and PVC.
Potato gun with t-shirts, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, God, speaking of injuries.
How are you, by the way?
Man, I'm actually pretty good today.
Okay.
That's good.
I used some leftover medicine from my surgery that I had just to kind of see where it was on one pill and then see how it was at the end of the day when that kind of wore off. And it was fine. I did like 4 days of that during the day. And then I ended up Friday night taking just 3 ibuprofen. That was perfect. Didn't do anything Saturday night or Sunday because I wanted to see what the whole day would bring. And it hurt at the end of the day. So
did you have to call anybody?
No.
No. So, help me fix my broken wing.
So last night I took 2 Advil before the party and then had about 4 or 5 whiskeys, and this is fucking perfect.
Well, 4 or 5 whiskeys. That's some painkiller, bro.
Closed the place down.
We got there like 5.
9:30.
Oh.
And left at 2:30.
Okay.
And had a horrible Lyft experience on the way there. We almost died twice.
Oh, jeez.
That's why I don't use that.
Was it Aubie Taylor?
Does he? No. No, it wasn't.
He drives Lyft? Or he does both, doesn't he?
He did both.
Yeah.
He doesn't do it right now. He's been, I wouldn't say it's a 9-to-5, but he got a regular job.
Oh, okay.
Working with where Rosie works. So.
Oh, right on.
Which is good. He needed it.
Yeah.
Needed some.
A little something more consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Structure.
Yeah, that's not an easy gig. I drove for Uber when they first came to Austin. It was horrible. And the people were okay, but yeah. You'll get a dud in there once in a while, you know.
Everybody
or a zombie. I had a zombie one night.
You got to report them.
It was just horrible.
Call the CDC. Fuck yeah. You know, I think I got a zombie in the back of my car.
It was just a cokehead, but he was gross looking, you know.
Was he from Florida?
He was warm. I don't know.
Fucking maniacs from Florida,
those,
man.
Bath salt crew.
Yeah. So with God damn it, bath salt crew. So no, I mean, you know, like anytime I get a Lyft or an Uber, man. I mean, I'm the coolest dude. I mean, I just talk, hey man, how's it going? Yeah. You know, I don't.
That's how I am.
Even if I had a few drinks, right? I mean, if anything, they're laughing their asses off. They're having a good time. You know,
gotta make it comfortable.
Right. I mean, and seriously, I don't, you know, I'm real particular about my shit. You can ask this dude.
He has a lot of life rules.
I have a lot of rules, especially my truck, right?
Regulations.
No, like we went to the Easy 7 Jesus contest. Christ. Right, with the Easy 7 contest, I was like, hey, dude, I'm going to allow us to eat in my truck. Because normally there's no food in my truck, right?
I get it.
I couldn't imagine, like, letting some stranger sit in my truck and be like, yeah, fucking farting and, you know,
burping,
fucking
burping, picking their, on your seat,
picking their nose. And no, couldn't fuck that. Yeah, man. Fuck that.
Maybe wiping boogers on the headrest.
Oh, terrible.
Yeah, it was funny when we were eating in his truck on the way there. We were like... holding our mouth open to trying to get the whole piece
because
we stopped
drop.
At that bakery to get those cheesecakes and the cinnamon rolls. And
yeah,
shit.
And
you have to. Don't get any on the seat or your clothes because it's going to fall. We did it. I mean,
yeah, we pulled. Yeah,
we ran a pretty tight program. You know, there's tons of shit in the truck.
Yeah, I get it.
And stopped at Bucky's twice.
Of course,
fucking Bucky's.
You can't pass a Bucky's. You just can't.
There's
pass
too many
it
options
up.
There.
Too many options.
By the way,
I need something in there.
Yeah, I need Christmas.
I need absolutely. There's something in there.
I need a Bucky's hammer.
And typically for me, it's the Bohemian style garlic beef jerky.
Dude, that was so good.
Yeah, dude.
That was so the fudge too.
No, that.
And whatever happened to my piece? I didn't eat it.
You
that
left
night.
It here. You left it here.
It got eaten.
Yeah, and I gave it to Dennis.
All right.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. He's from Florida.
Well, is that where Tiger Butter's fudge is from?
No, that's where. I mean, just that's saying. He was. You know,
he's a part of this salt.
The bath salt
the
crew.
Bath salt crew.
Oh shit, we're off the rails, man. But it's entertaining, I think.
Yeah. So. Well, is there anything that you wanted to promote and talk about, or anything that you are interested in that you want to share?
Did I already mention the boards that we're doing?
Kind of, but tell us.
Yeah, talk
going
a little bit
on.
More about it, man.
So we do. It's me and Aubie Taylor's company, and it's Image Kids Skateboards, or Image Kids Universe, I believe.
Yeah, but he told me the story about where that came from. I love that story.
That was a good story.
Yeah. We'll get Aubie to tell it.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll get Aubie to tell it.
Yeah.
He's well, have he will, he will be on this hands. Show. He yeah. will be on this show.
But anyways, we're doing a, and all of our boards are, you know, we get them pre-pressed and it's from, Skate Page. Which
Page,
I love their boards.
Yeah, Page Hearn out of,
been around.
Where's he, Georgia?
I think so. And, you know, he was pressing boards for Zorlak and.
Yeah. He's been around a long time.
You know, since way back in the day, so I, yeah. you know, I trust the wood, and he knows what he's doing.
I use that's what I was I before I built my press.
Yeah, that's what you
that's
use,
the
yeah.
wood I was using. Yeah,
that's good.
Guys, always trust the wood,
especially in the morning.
Yes,
yeah. I'm 47. It doesn't happen every morning.
So anyhow, so you guys are doing Image Kid Universe.
Yeah, and we're doing a custom staining and shapes that we you know put together. And we're doing all the handcrafted ones.
Cool. Right.
So they're all, you know, obviously they're not perfect. So they're little bits here and there, whatever. But it's, I think that's what people like. So at least the people that follow, like Aubie, and I'm into right. the shapes. We don't do any popsicles. I've made some symmetrical ones. They weren't really popsicles. And then we're also now doing, like, it's called South Central, I believe, is the company. They're out of Georgia, actually, or Alabama. But we're doing a run with them.
Okay.
With our same shapes and pretty much the same graphics. I changed mine a little bit just so we have inventory because we have so many people asking.
Right.
I get calls and messages, and he does, too, tons of, when are you getting your next run? When are you getting your
right.
next boards? And then I also do just the, you've seen them. I usually yeah. post them, the custom stained ones that I work on for people here and there.
Yeah. So. No, I like it. I like what y'all are doing. It's kind of, it's very similar to what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But, we'll talk a little bit after the podcast okay. and we can, I'll all that pile of wood that's yeah. sitting over there. man, I got all those. So I don't make popsicles, uh-huh. right? I will not make a popsicle. I will yeah. make a symmetrical board, but it will not be a popsicle.
Exactly.
Right?
That's how we are. So.
And you know, my concave is very specific since I, mm-hmm. you know, I skate a lot of pools.
Yeah.
I got some really deep concave in my boards. I did like, I was getting a lot of requests for popsicles, so I got all those and that's inventory. And it basically gives me the ability to say, oh, you need a popsicle. Here's a popsicle.
Yeah.
You know, cause that's just, it's, they're boring to make, man. I mean, I love like if you have a board, let's say it's got a little bit of a fishtail in it, right?
Yeah.
Sanding that is a challenge. Sanding that edge perfectly is a challenge. And there's no two boards that I've ever made that are identical.
Yeah.
Like I made those 10 boards for Aubie. They were close,
yeah.
but not one of them was identical to the other.
Yeah. I mean, so. You start with a template, but then maybe yeah. you go out of the line a little bit and you sand here a little more, or here a little less.
Yeah.
I have an idea for a board that I'd like to press
Ooh.
With you at some point.
Well, come over tomorrow because I need to put two boards in the press.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a cruiser.
Okay.
It's nice. A little bit different cut than stuff, but I've kind of worked out some numbers at home and I'll show it to you.
Okay.
I think it'd be a cool board to have some wide trucks on.
You were doing some math.
I was trying not to do math. I try to never do math, except when I'm playing music.
I mean, you've got to do math when
yeah,
you're playing music, say. Man. I mean, but typically it's divide by four, right?
You know, there's subdivision and there's 12s and 8s and 6s and 6/8s and
those are all
that,
even numbers.
Yeah, they're all even numbers. I like to play in
we
even
do
numbers.
Offbeat.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, math.
I like that.
I like it too. It's my, you know, when I, you know, again, here's the DIY stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's become, I've become very, very good at it.
Yeah.
Because it became necessity, right? Through the mm-hmm. course of my life, it became necessity. Like,
well, yeah, reading a tape and building. I'd have to
well, not
that
only that,
time,
but like,
yeah.
you know, perfect example. Like sometimes I'm like, well, I don't want to fucking deal with fractions, so I just convert that shit to a decimal and then
yeah.
convert it back
oh,
to a fraction.
Yeah.
That's so much easier to do in my head than it is to actually do fractional fractions. To actually add or subtract fractions. Fuck that.
I'd have to ask my daughter how to do fractions, you know? How do you do these? A common denominator?
Well, part of me is like, oh, man, maybe I should switch to the metric system. You know? So much easier.
Nah,
so much easier.
That was one of my favorite subjects.
But, you know, I mean...
math and science.
Yeah, so like... Oh man, yeah, it's about a meter, and I'm like, okay, that's 3.3 feet. And then you know, because when, you know, it's about 12 meters. I'm like, I have to convert that to feet in my head. I'm like, oh, then I got a visual representation. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I like people who like math.
So you don't have to do it.
It's good to have friends who are good at math, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
So what else y'all got going on outside of the Image Kid? Are y'all doing any t-shirts? You got any promotional items or anything like that?
Yeah, on this next run, we're going to do, and that'll be through Odyssey. We're going to get them to do another run of shirts. I think Gobby's parents did do a run of shirts, which I don't know what he did with them. I have one of them.
Yeah.
Or I have two of them.
They're probably in his car under something.
I'm sure they're in the closet. We'll pull those out, but we're going to do another run.
Okay.
With an Odyssey and then maybe some stickers too.
Yeah, if you're hearing, hey man, you know what? Not a sponsor, but I'm just going to give a big shout out to Odyssey, Kristen and Aaron.
Awesome.
Man, they do great work. It's a small shop that they run. It's a small Texas-based business.
That's why I love
support
them.
I get all of our stickers that we got here.
Nice.
I got those done through Kristen and Aaron.
Yeah.
And man, they do great work. My first run of t-shirts, I got done through them. But I used to work in a screen printing place, and I have a little stupid old school press. I love it, Lou. It's fantastic. It's Lou's press. It's not mine. but I don't have the shop that they have, right?
Right.
I mean, they have a real dryer. They have a real 6-color screen press. You know, everything that I have is like, you know, it's loaned to me, you know.
They have plotters and things of that nature, I would imagine.
They actually have
printing.
They have the ability to print beautiful positives for their screen burning. I don't have that. I don't have that ability. I'm a shoestring operation, bro. Mm-hmm. You know? So, but it works.
Good.
It works.
I like it.
Well, that's, you know, that's how you ensure that it is your product.
And those
100%, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they're just awesome people.
Yeah, Chris and Aaron,
good people.
I went to go pick up those stickers and oh man, great stickers, cool. They look good. Put that to the side, and we end up just talking about skateboarding.
Yeah,
you know, they got that little quarter that Joey and
built,
little concrete quarter that they built in their front yard. Transition about 2 feet tall. It's fucking good. Things got vert on it. Yeah, they're up by Lakeline Mall. Yeah,
and we still use them for our hand boards.
Yeah,
our handcrafted boards.
Yeah, I've gotten better at screen printing boards. It's a challenge.
Well, yeah, it's got to be a little flexible.
God, it's got to be super flexy. And
for your concave. Hell
yeah. Especially for my concave. Hell, even that concave on those popsicles.
One of your voluptuous boards is a really kick-ass ditch for a fingerboard.
That's funny.
Put some little curbs, make some clay curbs and stick them on there. And
that'd be cool.
That shit.
Maybe I just maybe create like a weird lazy Susan out of one of my skateboards. You know,
yeah.
Well, we can have skateboard sushi.
What, you know? Skateboard sushi?
Yeah, you know, instead of doing a sushi boat, you can do a sushi skateboard.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Or print one that way.
Why not? That'd be cool. Yeah. You have a little sashimi all over it.
Mm-hmm. That's weird, but awesome.
I know. Hey, dude, this goes anywhere we think of it.
You know,
it's. I mean, dude, and again, I'm fucking doped up out of my mind on fucking meds. So, but anyhow, what are we doing?
Well,
what do we got?
Know. What do anything else? Anything you got? You wanna? I mean, we got everything.
I think you've
kind of
pretty much asked me everything I wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
as far as boards and
skateboards. So I know that. You make skateboards, and I know you ride boards that you make. Let's talk a little tech about your setup. What wheelbase do you ride? And
I have a vert setup, and then I have a pull setup, and my vert board, which is what I use the most, it is one of our Image Kids boards. It's my shape, which has little money bumps in it. It's got a 15-inch wheelbase, which I find it works best for me. It's real stable.
Right.
And I use Tracker Trucks because they stay straight.
Right.
Indies are good, but I find that like Tracker, if you start to wobble, they go back to true, like back to straight.
They spring back
quicker.
Yeah.
So they're really good. And I do like Going. That's who I was sponsored by for a long time. So I think it's like, as far as turning, It's Indy or Ace, I guess. Yeah. And then Indy, then Going, and Tracker. And Tracker is perfect for me for vert. It keeps me stable. Right. And I use big balls, 65.
Ooh, those are some big old 90, wheels.
97A. Mm-hmm. Roll right over the coping. You get a good bunk.
You also use a half-inch riser under your trucks.
Damn straight. Yeah. Got to with those wheels.
With those wheels, yeah.
Sucks you'd having be, my hand in there.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't even matter how tight your trucks are at that point. You're going to wheel bite with something that large.
And I do use rails with sex boat.
Yeah.
Actual sex bolts.
Yeah. So did you actually find those? Because I know that we, because I sourced those ones out of Chicago.
Some stainless ones.
Yeah. They're too tall. They were just too,
yeah,
they
had that little, bit. Yeah. But I found, it was on eBay. I think I got about 11 packs of them now. Wow. Every time I see one, I buy it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to.
So if you need some.
Man, I think I might have to come by the house. Yeah.
You could just put a tiny washer under the screw head when you put the rail in, right? You're talking about
no,
it
talking about
off.
The
it comes
side,
out of the back
on the grip side.
No, on the grip tip
just
side.
Just the bolt head is high.
Yeah, they just it's kind of arched to it.
Oh,
dome.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
it's a button head.
And so what I thought about doing was putting them in my vise, right? Because they're stainless.
Flatten them or something.
And just flatten the shit out of them. So, yeah. But that's a lot of work. Why do I have to solve that fucking
bolt.
Problem? Yeah. You know what I mean?
You could just come over and I'll
just,
give you
yeah,
some.
Right. In the time that it would take me to do all that, I could have driven to your place and back, had that 30-minute conversation with you, and then come home, and I still wouldn't be done doing
and
that
I
crap.
Love those things. I don't know. I guess people still use the wood screws, but they pop off a lot. So, and I, nails on a chalkboard is... A flat spot on a wheel.
Is Michelle Kitchen skateboard right now?
Oh, God. Or
what?
She's got, the flat she, for spot? A while, she's had a screw, remember at the front ramp, trying to tighten her.
On
the
rail?
Out of Brushy. She's got a couple missing wood screws, and it's like.
Yeah.
I couldn't even.
And I hate the way that sounds when you skate.
I hate it.
And it's terrible. It sounds like you're doing it wrong.
It sounds like you're skating a shitty wheel.
Right. Yeah.
What's that?
Like second only to flat spotted wheel for me.
Oh, I can't.
I got a flat spot, and we were on that trip, and. I was like, done. I can't skate this. I did two more runs, and I was like, I'm done.
Yep.
Next thing.
Did you guys have to go to a skate shop?
The very next morning.
Did you find a good shop, or did you end up at the mall?
No. We found a shop. Cool. I don't even remember what part of Colorado we were in, but I was like, we need to go to a skate shop first.
Yeah, I got a flat spot at Pflugerville one night, and it drove me fucking crazy for the rest of the session. I drop in, and you know, I don't necessarily say it would tell you that I could feel it, right? But just the noise.
It's the noise.
Know? I was like, I can't ride like this. So now, whenever I go anywhere,
do you have extra set?
I keep an extra set of wheels in my bag.
Yeah, it's me too.
Idea.
Because I just can't. It's just like it's done. We were at skating with Harley one night, and he got a flat spot.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
And he doesn't care, but it sounds it sounded like a two-stroke motorcycle.
Yeah,
as he'd go by.
Like a card in your spokes or a two-stroke.
Yeah. The worst noise.
I couldn't handle that at all. So yeah, no, I get it. And the same with a loose rail or I put my grip tape on, and you know, I always like to do a line in my grip tape because it basically tells me where to put the ball of my toe. Mm-hmm. And if I've put it on wrong, I'm fucking take it all off, throw the grip tape away. Fucking it's, I don't know if it's because, I mean,
I use
fact,
reference points for sure.
Right. And I think
random grip,
as I've gotten older, I've just gotten a lot more like, fucking weird. I mean, that's just has to be what it is. So
true.
When we were kids, it didn't fucking matter.
Oh no.
You know,
slap it on.
Just slap it on and go. I mean, I wore the worst knee pads. I mean, I just keep taping my shoes up, you know, like, oh man, that board's got a little bit more tail than the board that I'm riding. Let me put that one together, you know?
Different trucks, different wheels.
Yeah. I had one time, I remember I had like, so they were, the rat bones were what, like 63 back in the day?
Yeah, I think
it was 63 millimeter. And then OJ's had come out with Bullet came out with the 65s.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, oh man, I want some of those bullets, right? And so
I loved those.
Somebody gave me two of them, and so I put those on the front of my board. And I had the 63s on the back, and I was like riding. I was riding, you know, I had reverse rake, as they would call it. Yeah. So
I
stupid.
Did the same thing. Kept me rolling. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. I remember a time when guys were specifically putting
one
95s on the front or back and then do 97s on the other for some reason. I never did that.
We were going to try it at the clown ramp, but it's not there anymore. But just because it's so slick,
right.
It's fiberglass. So
soft wheels in the back.
So, yeah, that's what I would think.
I think it was two. It was like 97s and then 95s, and we stagger them. So still fast, but still a little bit grippier.
A little grippy.
So you don't slide out.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like rotating
tires.
I think
Jeff Phillips used to do that,
cross
too.
Cross them.
Which I didn't realize till Abby pointed it out.
Well, Abby would know.
He would know.
He would know.
He would definitely know.
He is definitely a fan of Jeff Phillips.
Yes, sir.
So, which, I mean, if you're in Texas, you
gotta be.
You can't be a skateboarder and not be a fan of Phillips, you know.
No. Yeah. No, and I recently acquired a BBC
Did
Phillips
you?
Street model.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's over there in my art nook. So
Philpod.
Yeah. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it a little bit. Actually, man, it's pretty cool because it's an old BBC board, and the kick of the tail is really aggressive.
That is why I loved his Devil Man.
Yeah.
Which is what Obby's board is based on the shape.
But yeah.
I have one at home and I skated it for a little while, but when I was a kid, I have a picture of Polaroid actually. I had my vert set up with that board and I have a street set up because the tail was so steep.
Right.
I could ollie so high on that thing.
Yeah. Because you can still stand on that board. There's a lot of stress cracks on the bottom, but that it's still stronger than any board that I can get right now. Well, except for the boards that I make. And
yes.
And Paige makes some really good, strong skateboards too. I will say that. So, but anyhow, we'll talk about that one. But
you're not going to skate that board, though. You're going to hang it up, right?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't mind putting a set of trucks on it and just, you know.
Having it as a sitting there
having
fully
it, like,
set
a setup. Like, I can maybe go grab the mail with it. You know what I mean? So, I think it'd be cool.
I skated the one I had. It was like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Whatever.
It's a skateboard, man. It should be skated, right?
Yeah.
I keep wanting to put that Monty Nolder that I have back together. I've got an original Schmidt stick Nolder with the totem poles.
Oh, yeah. Those are red.
Yeah. I had the one I have now, I actually picked it up off eBay. It's red, but the one that I had back in the 80s was blue. And I think it's just the opposite color. But yeah, no, that board is still skatable. I mean, and it has clear grip tape on it, too. So.
Does it have stickers on top?
It's over there. I guess we could dig it up here in a second and look at it. But
what was your first board?
My first board was a Veriflex Voodoo. I have it. It's over in that pile over there.
The board. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, the board. And it's
you don't have the one you had. You have the exact.
No, I have the set. Oh, sorry. No, the one I had was white. This one's black.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No,
the one that I had ended up.
But it's not a reissue.
It's not a reissue. No. But the one that I had, it actually delaminated. And, and it was, and knowing what I know about wood now, it was almost like the glue had turned to powder.
Yeah, that's what my Lance Mountain, primitive Lance Mountain did.
It was really incredible because I noticed I love to do frontside bonelesses on that board. Or just as a kid in general. And I noticed like every time I do a frontside boneless, it was like, what is this? It like almost like sand.
Grit.
I was like, what is that? I thought it was grip tape or whatnot.
Do you think it's just because of the age or do you think that was a...
That was a brand new board when I was 12, 13 years old.
You think the glue is just superior today?
It has to be.
Formulas are different?
It has to be. I mean, when I started building boards, you go through this, and I know you did
all
it too.
All the different glues.
And then you realize how much science goes into that.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible how much science goes in because there's... You got urea-based glues, you got hide glues, you got water-based glues, waterborne glues, because there's two different, difference, right?
Yeah.
And those urea-based glues, and people don't know, it's formaldehyde.
Yep.
And if you don't know what formaldehyde is used for,
dip your joints in it.
As a mortician, you fill bodies with it.
Exactly.
And then you put them in the ground. It's a preservative.
They call that embalming fluid.
Right. It's
embalming. The preservative, right?
Yeah, it's embalming fluid. It's formaldehyde, but it's what makes it ideal for those scenarios, and what also makes it ideal for skateboard glue, is that it is a it's hydrophobic.
It repels water.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're making a skateboard, the one thing that you have to be concerned with is when you press moisture, a board, the veneers, humidity level matters. Because wood's going to absorb moisture no matter what you do.
Right.
And so if it absorbs too much moisture,
It'll push away.
If you use a formaldehyde-based glue, it'll push out all that moisture. If you use a waterborne glue, like, you know, Tight Bond 3, which you don't want to use because it's got what's called wood flour in it. So all of a sudden we have a skateboarding making lesson here. but the wood flour is sawdust, right? And so if there's sawdust in the glue and you live in a humid climate,
soggy.
It's going to get soggy, and so your board's not going to be as strong. So there's a lot of different but you go down this road and you realize how much science goes into all this.
It's interesting. I love it.
And it's fascinating. No, from the way my brain works, it's fascinating to me. And I'll just sit there and like, oh my gosh, how much more is there to know, right? Because you don't know what you know, and you don't know everything.
That's right.
So, and with that, knowledge, y'all.
Knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't have any math.
Do some math right now.
No.
Do some fucking math right now.
2 + 2.
+3.
No, you should have gone.
-4. I don't.
Which one is it? That's it.
It's the green one.
Damn it. It's the blue. The teal one. The turquoise, foam, whatever you want to call
turquoise,
it.
Turquoise, sea foam. Oh boy.
So hey man,
just put a sticker on those things.
Yeah, we should, right? We should label them.
Or just have a diagram.
Right.
True.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
A legend.
See. We could play with that shit for all night. But man, hey man, we're up here at an hour and a half, and we know we like to keep it at about that time. So we wanna go ahead and wrap her on up, as the man would say. Mm. But man, you know, Isaac, I wanna thank you for coming out. It's always a pleasure talking with you, man.
Thanks.
You know, I know that there's more we could talk about when it comes to, like, you know, rehab and injury and all that crap.
Oh, gosh.
But who wants to talk about that stuff? That's hardcore. Right.
Well,
man.
Yeah, you don't want to start that conversation at an hour and a half. You want to lead in with that.
Yeah. Well, that's a different conversation, right? So, but man, we'd love to have you back at some point.
I'd love to get
Thanks you back and maybe bring Aubie.
Yeah.
And we can talk about a little bit more about what y'all are doing, what the idea behind it is, and you know, the overall
I'll get them out here.
Yeah, man,
keep us posted for sure, through the Instagram stuff, and let me know us know how he's doing and what he thinks about doing that, because it'd be kind of cool to, as soon as he's
healed up a little bit,
as soon as he's ready,
he's a little banged up, but we'll and also, man, send us when he reestablishes that GoFundMe, let us know. We'll post that through all of our social media capabilities.
Okay. Yeah.
So Chase, man, you got anything?
You know, I just want to say thanks, brother, for being here. Appreciate it. I was very excited when you said that you would do it, and sorry we had to postpone it a little bit, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
That's my fault. I'm sick.
I love what you guys are doing. So
cool. Thank you. We're trying to make it successful, and I think we're getting, you know, way more positive feedback and support than I ever even imagined. You know, it's like maybe somebody's taking our conversation seriously. Half the time we don't, and I think that's
probably why it works.
Good. About it, you know,
exactly.
So,
why it works.
Exactly.
Hey, but by the way, man, you can find us on iTunes now or Apple Podcasts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're listed. I got us fully listed. I'm still working on the Google stuff. I don't own anything Android based, I really don't know how to do it. So, but I'm working on it, everybody, for all of those Android people out there. Spotify, we're there. Any podcast aggregator, man, you should be able to find us.
I think so. I think it happens that way. Also, you know, talking about future episodes, there's been some grim shit going on in the community lately, and we've actually been kind of talking about doing some episodes on mental health and kind of just sharing our support for everyone in the community, and possibly being able to provide some quick resources if anybody's in need of a mental health check, even, you know, a physical health check, because the two go hand in hand. So if there's anybody out there, you're hurting, you need a hug, you need some love, man, reach out to us. We are available to discuss our options for resources, you know, offline. So
right, and I just
want completely anonymous, and we'd love to help anyone. I have some good resources. I've been through a lot of therapy and weird life shit, and I want nothing more than to provide that avenue for anybody else who's going through anything, anything at all.
And I just want to add to that, man. You know, if anybody who knows me knows that I struggle with depression, and I'm up right now. But I know it's going to come back. And one of the reasons I make skateboards and one of the reasons why I'm always doing something is that if I sit stagnant for too long, it creeps up on me. Creeps up on me. And so one of the big things that I always struggle with when I'm in that deep, dark place is that I feel like I'm alone and I convince myself that I am. But I want to remind everybody out there that if you go through that, you're not.
No,
You're never alone.
Especially in the skateboarding community here in Austin, Texas, man. You're never alone. Man, ping us on Facebook. Get us somewhere. If you want to come on the show and talk about it, man, let us know. We'll work it in. Our schedule's packed, but man, let us know. But you're not alone. Somebody's out there who's feeling the same thing that you're feeling, or has already gone through it.
Yeah, exactly.
And they can help get you out the other side.
Yeah, there is help available.
Absolutely,
it's taking that step to convince yourself that you're not afraid to fucking ask for help.
Yeah, and we're skaters, so we don't ask for help, do we?
You know, yeah. And then pay the ultimate price when it breaks my heart, man. It's, you know, young kids don't need to go like that.
No, they don't. Yeah, just.
So there's somebody out there, man, there's help, and man, Chase has reach out to Chase. He's got a lot of friends in that community as well.
I'm going to go ahead and throw out the Austin Anger Management. It's therapist Jim Hoadley, and he does a fantastic anger management class on Thursdays. If you want any information on that or individual psychotherapy, couples, if you have depression, he's got a good resource for substance abuse as well. So that number, I can just throw that out to give him a call. It's 512-476-1800.
What's that number?
512-476-1800.
If you can't remember anything, just remember 1800. Oh, Jesus. Come on, do it. Call it if you need to.
Yeah, and that's all I have.
Right on, man. Isaac, you got anything?
No, I do have a good quote that I like. It's from Bruce Lee.
Lay it on us.
We can close with yours this time.
Yeah, okay. Bruce, yeah.
It's a don't think, feel.
Ooh.
It's like a finger pointing away to the moon. Don't concentrate on the finger or you will miss all that heavenly glory.
Right on.
I like that.
I like it a lot.
I like that.
I love it.
Cool.
All right, man. Well, then we're going to wrap it up, and I'm going to end it how I always end it. I'm going to say keep your wheels down.
Keep the sun out of your eyes.
Keep the sun out of your eyes. And always be yourself.
And go fucking hug somebody.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
Hell yeah. It's good for you. It's healthy.
Hell yeah.
It's healthy.
All right.
All right, man. So y'all be good, and we'll talk to you next time.
Later.
Later.